11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, hello one and all. Welcome along to the League Podcast. We're looking at the Good Friday Championship action, plus Pete Farris is going to pick a best bet in League 1 and League 2 because our colleague who does those divisions, Jason Lewis, is away this week. Are you well, Pete?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Lee, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. We're Skyping. I feel like, whenever I say that, I always feel like I'm a really old man saying something that the kids do. I don't even think kids Skype these days. I think they FaceTime, don't they? I think Skype's been passed over.
I think a little bit, yeah. But yeah. But we are still trying to ride the crest of a technology wave, Lee, and I'll be damned if we give up just yet.
True enough. Let's start with the Championship then, shall we? Pete Farris has picked out 6 featured matches, and there's some good ones in here as well. Shall we start with the first of the TV games, the two of them? We'll start with Ipswich versus Bournemouth, shall we? Then this is a slightly strange chronological order, but Ipswich... 5:15 kickoff against Bournemouth. Great game this one. Bournemouth, of course, top of the table now, a point clear of Watford. Ipswich occupying the sixth spot, so the last of the playoff spots, a point clear of Brentford. It's still as tight as anything this division at the moment. The odds then for Ipswich Town versus Bournemouth. Tractor Boys are 2-1. It's 11-5 the draw, and Bournemouth are 5-4. Pete. It's a strange division, so tight at the top. You wonder if Bournemouth would just be happy with taking a point here and ticking over.
Well, maybe so, but then if they take a point and Borough take 3 or Watford take 3, both of whom haven't got the easiest games in the world, I might add, despite the fact that Borough have got Wigan, it's still a nervous approach to take. The weird thing about Bournemouth is not content with having some of the best players in the division, not content with having some of the best form in the division. They've added to it further. Kenwyn Jones has gone in from Cardiff City, which is ridiculous. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But Russell Slade coming out and saying, we haven't let him go because he's not any good. We've let him go because, well, it's financial reasons and it wasn't my choice and I'm not happy about it. So that's bizarre on Cardiff's part. But it's meant that certainly Bournemouth can continue to strengthen. But do they really need more strikers? 5 past Fulham, 4 past Blackpool. They hit Borough. They hit one of the best defences in the league. 3rd in the table. They hit Borough 3-0. They're absolutely unbelievable. And yet Ipswich are off the back of 2 very good one-goal victories, 1-0 both times. Yes, very few teams go down to Portman Road and win games. But for me, Bournemouth at 5-4, they have to be the play because despite Ipswich's qualities, if you get Bournemouth in this league at 5-4 against anyone, for me, you have to play it. So yes, the 5-4 is... the headline offer as well. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win at 3s could be of real interest. But I'll tell you what else I really like here, which is the overs on the goals. Now, over 2.5 is 21-20. Over 3.5, 11-4. We've been through already the goals that Bournemouth have been scoring. And I know they've hit them past poor teams, Blackpool and the like, but they can, we know that all season they can rip teams apart. The goals they hit, of course, that day past Birmingham. And you know what they've got in their locker if they want to. 6 past Blackpool, 5 early in the season past Rotherham, 5 early in the season past Bournemouth. So you know that they alone can get goals. And while, yes, teams are often having to get forced into much tighter games when they go to Ipswich, when Ipswich went to Bournemouth earlier in the season, it was a 2-2 draw. So all of that added together suggests to me that over 2.5 match goals at 21-20 is brilliant. And then comes the other angle to this overs bet. Because if Bournemouth are drawing 1-1, but Watford are winning, or Borough are winning, or both are winning, what are Watford going to do? They're going to throw everything at it because they know that they need to, because they need to try and keep pace. If Ipswich know that Brentford are currently pipping them to a playoff place, or Wolverhampton, their Wanderers are pipping them to a playoff place, or teams above them are getting away from them, what are they going to want to do at home? Throw everything at it. So for me, the actual game itself, the way this tie and the league sits, is conducive to that over 2.5 goals as well. 21-20 is fantastic, but if you're asking me for an outright, which as part of the podcast, I assume that you are, it would be Bournemouth.
Very nice. And the other TV game in the Championship sees Derby County take on Watford, a 7:45 kickoff this one. Derby are 23-20. It's 23-10 the draw and 21-10 for Watford, who are second on 72 points. And up until that defeat to Ipswich, were flying. In fact, it's the other East Anglia club who they last lost to, Norwich, on the 21st of February, and then they lost to Ipswich, of course, on the 21st of March. So you expect them maybe to bounce back. I was looking back through Derby's past seasons, Pete, to find the last time they had a run as bad as they're on at the moment. They've picked up 2 points from a possible 18, haven't they? Two draws since the 24th of February. The last time they had a run like that was way back in January, February 2012. Down to fifth now. I mean, the good thing about their form pre this run is the fact that, you know, they're not completely out of it. They're still the 5 points off Watford, but we know this division, you know, if they can string a few wins together, they can get right back in the automatic spots. Do you think they're in danger of actually plummeting out of the playoffs?
They are right now, yeah. They've picked up 2 wins since the 7th of February, and considering we're now in April and they are fighting and we're one of the favourites to be an automatic promotion play, that's abysmal. You've got Steve McLaren coming out and saying, listen, my players just don't seem like they've got it in them at the moment, which is frightening and a strange thing for a manager to say. I know an awful lot of managers who would be saying the direct opposite. It's not going our way, but we will fight and we will kick and the players are all good enough, etc., etc. And certainly, I actually know a couple of people who work at Derby County, and they were talking about an air of resignation or an air of certainly lacking confidence at the club at the moment. So that's frightening. So if you're a punter and you're looking at Derby at home at 23-20, do you want to play that right now? The sixth worst form in the league? A team who can't get going at all, and especially when you factor in their opponents. So yes, Derby County's poor form has come predominantly away from home. But generally, Watford's brilliant form has come from away from home. Look at their last 5 away games. They've beaten Brentford 2-1. They hit 4 past Bolton, 3 past Leeds, who at the time, of course, were looking very good. They dispatched Wigan with consummate ease 0-0. And yes, a 2-2 draw at Molineux is actually, when you consider how good Wolves are, not that bad a result. But the point is they are scoring goals. And it's another game, Lee, where the over 2.5, this time at 10-11, is really good value. Because again, Watford away from home, 3 goals, 7 goals, 5 goals, 4 goals, 2 goals. Derby's last their 5 home games, 5-5-2-4-1. So the over 2.5 at 10-11 again. But again, you've got to factor in where we are at in the season. This is business time, as the Flight of the Conchords used to sing. It's business time. And they're going to go at it. There's no other option. When it is this tight, no one is safe. Derby aren't a safe playoff side. Watford aren't a safe automatic promotion side. Is anyone in this top group, if they're facing each other, going to settle for a draw? No, of course they're not. It's not only losing out for them, it's gifting their opponents. So again, it's about attitude. It's about desire. And the desire will be there to score goals and, of course, try and get themselves promoted. I again, would be with Watford here, though. I think they are an absolutely magnificent, magnificent price. You think about Watford at 21-10 in this game. When we've been through Derby's poor form, when we've looked at how good Watford are away from home, with the fact that Odion Ighalo recently, of course, hasn't been around for a little while for various reasons, and then of course Troy Deeney steps back up and starts scoring. He's been in great goal scoring form, Deeney. He's 6-4 anytime. And when again you look through, he got a brace against Wigan. He scored against Reading. He scored against Wolves. He got the winner against Fulham. This guy is 6-4 anytime. He's in magnificent form. So as good as a headline offer is, just because how good we know Odion Ighalo is at 4-1, I'd rather put together my own. And in fact, I have done, because that's how professional I am. Troy Deeney to score anytime, and Watford to win is 16-5. So a little shorter than that fours you're currently getting on the headline offer for Ighalo. But again, we're talking value. And right now, if you're offering me Watford against Derby and you're giving me 21-10 for Watford, I mean, it's not even a question
no.
for me.
No, it looks a nice price, doesn't it, given what the form lines are like at the moment. Let's have a look at some of the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Good Friday. Birmingham, first of all, against Rotherham, 23-20, the Blues. The 11-5, the draw, and the Millers are 11-5. Birmingham, 15th with 47 points, so that's a long way above the drop zone. Rotherham occupy that 21st spot, but are 5 points clear of Wigan. It's looking more and more likely that everyone from Rotherham up are going to be safe, but can't take anything for granted just yet. And Rotherham's form, if those teams weren't so bad, they would be in some pretty dodgy danger at the minute, because they've only picked up 2 wins in the last 10, and a lot of the other games have been losses. Birmingham pretty much cantering to a mid-table finish, I guess, Pete. I mean, their form's nothing to write home about. They've only had those 2 home wins against Brentford and Blackpool in a sea of losses and draws, haven't they?
Yeah, but if you look under Gary Rowett, how they get on at home.
Yeah, tight, aren't they? They're really tight defensively as well.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, they weren't tight in the game before he arrived, when Bournemouth smashed 8 past them. But then they beat Watford, beat Forest, beat Reading. They got battered by Derby, okay, but dispatched the teams that they needed to, like Wigan and Blackpool. They're incredibly hard to beat. They've lost twice at home under Rowett at St Andrews, and they've done very, very well there. I'm sorry, maybe, I don't know. I don't know why I have such a feeling for Rotherham to get relegated, but I still do. 3-1 is big. It is big still for Rotherham. And there's some of the games they've got. They've still got Borough to play, Norwich to play. They finish away at Leeds, so it's not exactly like Leeds fans are going to be expecting anything less than a win that day. They've got teams who also might have a little bit to fight for. Reading might not feel safe. Brighton will want to, you know, charge on, because they're a club who should be doing better than they are. Fulham, of course, are another relegation rival to a certain extent, so they'll want to play them and beat Rotherham there. I think 3's for relegation for Rotherham. It's still backable. I think it's still backable, despite the fact that Wigan, of course, have got Borough this weekend. Their form's just not... 4 wins in 2015. A side who look wholly unconvincing. I mean, away from home, they went for a really bad patch, shipping goals all over the place. Yes, they won against Huddersfield, but Huddersfield were on the beach that day. This is a side who, again, you know, won 3 times away from home all season, against Millwall, against Wigan, and against Huddersfield. So a team who were done, basically, for the season, well, felt they were done anyway, I should say, in that game. And then 2 of the teams who are currently in the relegation zone. Do I think they're going to go to Birmingham and win this game? Absolutely not. Birmingham, 23-20 on the outright. Fantastic value. Gary Rowett knows how to manage a team at home. He did it with Burton Albion last season. He's doing it with Birmingham this season. And quite frankly, again, odds against Birmingham are fantastic value against a Rotherham side who I wouldn't book it back at 11-5 against anyone in this division.
Brighton versus Norwich next up. Brighton are 16th on 45 points, so a full 10 points clear of relegation now. Norwich are in 4th with 70 points, 3 off the top, and 4 off 7th place. Brighton, only 1 defeat now in the last 5. It's only 2 defeats in the last 10 as well, so they have managed to turn their form around. Norwich City, only 2 defeats in the last 15 matches. So obviously been going along very well. And there, that superb running sequence, which really lifted them into the playoff zone, didn't they? It dropped off a little bit, Pete. The 1-1 draw with Derby and the 2-2 draw at Huddersfield, but back on it against Forest when they won 3-1.
And away from home. I mean, historically, Norwich and Ipswich and the likes, they have succeeded in getting promotions and things, but often the away form, understandably, because of how far sometimes they have to travel, has been a little bit on the shaky side. It ain't shaky right now. What a managerial appointment it's turned out to be at Norwich. They have pulled the proverbial rabbit out of the hat. It's been incredible. You look at away form at the moment, like you say, I mean, they drew at Birmingham, they drew at Huddersfield, but destroyed Millwall, got past Watford, beat very, very good Charlton side now, beat Blackburn 2-1. They're just exceptionally good, and they've scored goals. I mean, you look at the goals, they've scored 14 in the last 5 away from home. But Brighton, again, on the other side of things, ignore the Arsenal result, 5 goals in the game against Forest, 7 in the game against Birmingham, and a couple of unders as well. I kept looking at this Brighton 12-5 because it kept tempting me. But that away form for Norwich, if punters listen to this and look at the away form and say, is he really putting Brighton up? I'll be chased out of town. And I think quite rightly, and not for the first time either. But there are a couple of ways into this game that I think are very, very attractive. Again, first and foremost, you're getting odds against price for over 2.5 goals, 6-5 there. Now, when you're putting that up against some of the bets this weekend, it's another one for any of the coupons that people want to put together. It is brilliant. And I know, as I've just said, Brighton's home games recently have tightened right back up under Chris Hughton. And yes, maybe a draw is going to be good enough for Brighton. Maybe they'll look at the league table and say, actually, a draw for us is good enough. But I don't think that Norwich will be happy with that. And the way they've been scoring away from home recently, again, despite a little bit of a week's break, which of course can sometimes make a difference, the overs goals has to be the play. In the end, I've gone slap bang down the middle here for a draw. You look at Birmingham and the way that they played. At the moment, it's quite similar in some ways to how Brighton play. Wolves are quite close to the Brighton style as well for that 2-2. So if you are looking at stylistic differences, I think you'll find that Norwich have struggled against teams who play a bit like Brighton or a bit like Birmingham. So 21-10 the draw was ultimately where I really liked to go on this game.
It's so tempting to go for goals in that as well. The amount of goals on both sides, home and away, over 2.5 at 6-5. I'm struggling to get that out of my mind at the minute, Pete, for the naps. But we'll come to that later on. Next up, let's have a look at Millwall's game against Charlton. This is at 3 p.m. on Good Friday. Charlton are 11th on 54 points. Millwall second bottom on 33 and fast running out of time. Two successive draws against Brighton at home, 0-0. And away at Brentford, the 2-2 draw last time out, when they really should have got the win. They were two up with 5 minutes left on the clock and conceded in the 85th and in stoppage time. To only take a point when they should have had three. Charlton, arguably the best spell of the season, really, Pete. I mean, you look at they're not even drawing games, are they? You look at the last nine they've played. They've lost two and won seven. Great spell. If they'd had a bit more, a few more points, they might have even been looking at them as an outside playoff shout.
It's not even just one of the best sections of their season. It's one of the best runs of form they've had in years.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal, and we'll get to the Naps table very soon, but I have risen like a phoenix from the ashes in the Naps table.
All because of the Addicts.
All because of Charlton. And that's because I keep saying this every week, but I don't know if a trader was once, I don't know, denied access to Charlton Athletic Football Club. I don't know if at one point a girl who was a Charlton Athletic Football Club fan dumped him unceremoniously. I don't know. I don't know why they keep putting Charlton at 2-1, or 9-5, or 11-4. It's insane. You're looking at the fourth best form in the league playing the second worst. You are looking at I don't understand, Lee.
No.
The first thing I did when I was prepping the podcast is I went, right, well, we'll all have got Charlton, time to see what the traders have finally hammered. Oh, hang on a second, it's 9-5. Insane. It really is. This is a Millwall side, lest we not forget, who've won two games since the beginning part of December against a side with the stats and the form that you've just given for Charlton. And not even like they're scraping it. They hit three past Reading, three past Blackpool. They hit two past Cardiff, who, by the way, have got the third best form in the league. They hit two past the informed Forest side, destroyed Huddersfield, destroyed Wigan, destroyed Brentford. It is unbelievable. It really is. So, I mean, you can be a cowardly custard. There's nothing wrong with that. The draw no better 21-20 is a play. The plus a goal at 1-2 is a play. But with everything I've just said, with all the forms we know about these two respective sides, what on earth are Charlton doing at 9-5? That goes straight onto the bet slip.
Yeah. Again, and you know, almost an echo of the previous game, over 2.5 goals at 11-10. I don't get that. You know, if you know, let's say, you know, Charlton have been scoring goals, as you've said. If they score, Millwall have to then come out and score. You know, I know they don't score many at home, but they have to attack them, which only leaves more gaps for Charlton. I just think 11-10 looks massive to me. Finally, for our featured games in the Championship, we'll go to Saturday afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Leeds United versus Blackburn Rovers, two sides who've been having decent runs since Christmas. Blackburn have just lost the last couple. Maybe a little hangover from the cup, but they did win the two games after that. They inflicted a defeat on Charlton. They've since lost to Brentford and lost to Brighton, both at home. So they go away for the first time in a couple of weeks to Elland Road, where Leeds have been going along quite nicely. Weirdly, the home form is probably worse than their away form, Pete, for Leeds United, isn't it?
Yeah, at the moment, certainly. If you look at the last six at home, for example, they've beaten Bournemouth, phenomenal result, lost to Brentford. Okay, fair enough. Beaten Millwall, fair enough. Lost to Watford, fair enough. Got a cracking win against Ipswich and a perfectly acceptable draw against Forest. Blackburn are a difficult side as well, because away from home, their form, if you look at it, is actually not that bad recently. They've lost at Derby and Watford, again, a shrug of the shoulders and a, well, all right. They've drawn at Cardiff, who are in very, very good form. They've drawn at Bournemouth, again, brilliant, fair enough. And Wednesday and Charlton Athletic, they've managed to beat. Of course, one of those rare Charlton losses we've had recently. I think this is about as nailed on a draw as you will pretty much ever see in your betting life. If I'm wrong, which happens sometimes, then fair enough. But 21 to 10 is the price on the X here. For these two sides, yes, there is still a kind of an outside, a minuscule chance that one of them could reach the top six, but it's borderline impossible. And as soon as Ipswich or Derby pick up a couple more points, it's done. It's game over, which, to be fair, it almost is already. There's talk at Leeds about him bringing more young players in. He spoke this week about the likes of Mowat, Cook, and so on. In the tip of the iceberg was the phrase that Neil Redfern used. And for me, with the way he's been talking, he is going to start trying to bring a few more young players through. He's going to try and start blooding them toward the end of this season. Now, Leeds fans are never ones to accept a draw. They're never really ones to accept anything other than 3 points. It's fair enough. But for Blackburn, if they go away from home here, they get a draw at a good place with a couple of players already, from the sounds of things, looking like they want to leave the club. The likes of Gestede, of course. Ken, he's getting heavily linked with a move away. So all of this, for me, just suggests that the focus will be A, on the beach, B, at other clubs, and C, possibly on blooding some young players. All of that together, 21 to 10, the X, I think, is good value.
Very good. I haven't updated the Naps table yet, Pete. Because there's been some confusion over what happened last week. Did we all go for Bournemouth?
No.
Northampton?
Northampton, yeah.
Right, okay. I didn't pick one, so I mean, I was lying. But Jason and yourself both went for Northampton. I didn't actually pick a Nap because I thought that the people who were doing the podcast would pick them. So I'll just give myself a void. Probably fair, isn't it? I wanted to clarify it with you both. Jason's obviously not doing the podcast this week, so we'll come into it. I mean, I don't know if you want to do one for the Championship. You're going to give us your best bets in League One and Two. But is it in the Championship, you nap, or do you want to wait till the end?
I'll wait till the end.
Oh, okay.
It is in the Championship, and I'm sure it'll be surprising when
I put it. Yes, I'm sure it will be. Let's get your best bet in League One then, please, Pete. Jason will be back on Sunday to do the Bank Holiday Monday fixtures, but it's like going back in time. This is what we used to do, isn't it?
It is, the good old days, before youngsters started to usurp me at every turn. There's a few really good bets. I really like Doncaster Rovers at 13 to 10. I saw Bradford last night, and I spoke to one or two players knocking around, not of Bradford, but of Chesterfield, and they were talking about how difficult the pitch was. It was snowing, it was raining, it was windy. Every single one of those players at the end of that 1-0 victory for Chesterfield had their hands on their thighs. There was some sort of knackered, just broken players out there on the field. They looked absolutely gone. They looked void of anything. And they looked void of anything during the game. So you add all of that together, and I know that Phil Parkinson's a man who can pull out big wins when he needs to, but I thought Doncaster Rovers at 13 to 10 were good. I think they're very good value. I would avoid getting involved in a few games. The Barnsley Sheffield United one's a tricky one as well. Crewe Crawley, I think, is quite hard too. But I ultimately thought that Doncaster Rovers at 13 to 10 was the very best bet, because I saw those Bradford City players at the end of that game and they looked dead.
Very good. Best bet in League Two?
Well, it's a league that has been a fairly mad for a while, hasn't it? But I go back to last week's, actually, and Northampton Town. They have been, for me, the big underperformers for a lot of the season. Early season, they went out and they bought well. Obviously, they've got one of the best strikers in the league in Mark Richards. They strengthened across the board and they showed real ambition under Chris Wilder. They're now 4 points off Plymouth. They've got to try and leap above Stevenage and Luton, of course, as well. But Luton are in absolutely abominable form. They're dropping away like you would not believe right now, Luton Town. So I really like the look, first and foremost, at 6-4 on Northampton Town. But I looked at Exeter because I looked at how bad, at the moment, Luton were playing. And, you know, they've lost 5 on the bounce. They look devoid of just absolutely everything. And up against an Exeter side who've gone from one end of the country to the other to beat Carlisle. They've beaten Cheltenham. I know Cheltenham have had their problems, but they've beaten Cheltenham. And I just felt that Exeter City at 14-5 against one of the league's big plummeters right now was just great.
Yeah, very nice. So you're not you're going for Charlton then, are you?
Oh, am I that predictable?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But
stick with it.
But for me as a punter, Lee, I can't. This is the stage of the season which is my favourite for betting, because traders start to price up teams on what they have to do. So if a team is fighting relegation and they have to win, the traders often make them a lot shorter than they should be, because in the traders' minds, it's, well, they have to do it, so they're going to go out and do it. But that's not it. Certainly for teams who are relegated, or fighting relegation, what they have to do is what they've not done all season, which is pull out important wins. So do I think that right now Millwall, who have some of the worst form in the Championship, who are having an absolute nightmare, are worth backing against the Charlton side, who've got the fourth best form in the league, are scoring an absolute ton of goals, are high in confidence, are pushing on, have got no reason to stop the momentum at all? Because don't forget, it was quite a nasty season for Charlton at one point, and then obviously through various managerial changes, now of course Guy Lujon, they are scoring goals, the confidence is high. And ultimately, as a punter, you can't ignore the 9-5. And ultimately as well, this is the reason why I'm no longer in the depths, the dark, dark depths of the Naps table. They've dragged me kicking and screaming forward to 5 consecutive Nap wins, Lee. I just wanted to mention that before, yes. Before you inevitably did. But 9-5 for me, it's an absolute mac daddy of a price. If you want to play the 21-20 draw no bet, be my guest, but you're a coward.
Yeah, I'll do the table after the Easter weekend, and we'll have a good run in then. I'm going to go for a League Two match. I'm going to go back to the goal scorers. It's done me a few favours. I'm going to the Carlisle-Portsmouth match. Portsmouth aren't an amazing team by any stretch of the imagination, but Carlisle have conceded the most goals in League Two. They've conceded a goal at home in each of the last 10 matches, barring one, and that was against Cheltenham, who are the worst team in the division. So it's that man, Matt Tubbs, for me to score any time at 6-4. He's the leading scorer in the division. Of course, he's shared his goals between it's been two different clubs this season, Portsmouth and Wimbledon. But he's obviously scoring goals, 18 goals so far this season. 6-4 to score any time against the worst defence in the division will do me very nicely. The worst home defence in the division, that is, by the way. Thanks, Pete. What we'll do is we'll tweet out Jason Lewis's Nap. He's going to send me that later on tonight, or early tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, and you can compare and contrast. I'll do the full table after Easter, Pete. But I think you could be closing on him. I really do.
I'm very pleased with the end of the season, because I was banging my head both literally and physically against tables throughout much of the season. So if I can bring myself into solid profit at the end of the year, then that for me will be about as big a win as winning the Champions League would be, I think.
I'm just waiting for the inevitable dip in form. But it might not come before the end of the season.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for that. Appreciate the support.
Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Pete Farris there with his thoughts on the Championship, League One and League Two. We'll be back for a preview of the Bank Holiday Monday action as well over the weekend. So make sure you check out iTunes. If you subscribe there, it's just search William Hill Football on the music store. You can also check out the72.co.uk. There's a playlist on the top right-hand corner of the website. You can go to williamhill.com/podcasts. And if you want a fourth place to look, then go to audioboom.com. Thanks very much for listening. If you're having a bet on any of the Championship, League One or League Two action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.